702. The Political Desk.
Well, as you know, at this time we need to focus on political stories you should not ignore. And I don't know if you've noticed, I mean, the last day or so, it seems the new thing is to call people, you know, sort of like, I don't know, what shall we call it? Revisionist history. Call people who are involved in the struggle, if not apartheid spies, colluders with the apartheid regime. We're joined now by Professor Simphiwe Sesanti, who's the Associate Professor at UNISA's Institute for African Renaissance Studies. Good morning to you, Prof.
Good morning to you.
I mean, of all the accusations you ever thought you would hear, Robert Sobukwe, an apartheid colluder, really?
Good morning, sir, and good morning to your listeners, and thank you very much for having me. We should not be surprised by these kinds of things. They do happen. In fact, they are very historical. In desperate times, people say that you see desperate measures. In this context where we are getting closer to elections, you would find that certain politicians would be very eager to attract attention to themselves. And so, therefore, that being the case, they would say things that are outrageous. In fact, if you were carefully reading the report by The Star yesterday, Freddie Maphaila said something reportedly very interesting. He said that he was saying something that he had never said before. And so the question for us is, you know, why is this issue arising now? What compels him to say this? And so, one then sees that it is that desperate moment.
Yeah.
That calls for desperate measures, people wanting to attract attention to themselves by any means necessary. And so we should read what has been said about Mangaliso Sobukwe in that context.
So we can obviously look at the opportunism of people, campaigning for elections in an election year in a highly charged political environment. But if we take a step back and we think about these histories, these narratives, how do we separate fact from fiction? How do we make sure that these stories are told with what I would imagine the truth and accuracy they will need for future generations? Because it can go either way. I mean, we saw, for example, Winnie Madikizela-Mandela's image almost completely changed from a once reviled figure in many communities in South Africa to a heroine in her death. And now we're seeing the opposite as far as the figures like Robert Mangaliso Sobukwe.
Thank you very much for that. To begin with, I need to point that at all times, as history has indicated to us, there will always be, political immaturity and infantile attitudes that we are seeing now. So that shouldn't surprise. But your question is very important. How do we ensure that in spite of all these, childishness, we're able to put things into perspective? The beauty of it is that we already have literature that has an objective existence that clearly indicates, the history of the liberation movement, not only that of Mangaliso Sobukwe, but of others as well. Right now in front of me, I have two interesting books, one by Peter Story, a white priest, and the other one, Lie on Your Wounds, letters written by Mangaliso Sobukwe, selected and edited by Derek Hook. And we see in this that one, Mangaliso Sobukwe is able to speak for himself. We know that there was a book on him by Benjamin Pogrand that, where profiles the history of the Pan-Africanist Congress and that of Mangaliso Sobukwe in particular. Of note is that all the three writers, that I've mentioned, are not black or African, where we'd be saying that these are just coming to, are not even associated with the Pan-Africanist Congress. But all of them, they bear testimony to the integrity of the man, even though ideologically they stood opposed to one another. And then, not just only that, and the people need to, Soyi Maphaila, belonging to the Tripartite Alliance,
yeah,
should to his own sources. Nelson Mandela's long walk to freedom, right? Where Mandela pays deep and huge tribute to Mangaliso Sobukwe, even though they stood, on opposite sides. But he had deep respect and appreciation of the integrity of this man. And lastly, you know, let me quickly point
very
out
quickly, Prof, we're running out of time.
Quickly, Lulu Kalimnikov's book, you know, Beyond the Angeli Mountains, where we see Oliver Tambo's deep appreciation and solidarity with the Pan-Africanist Congress, even though they stood ideologically opposite.
Yeah. So from his opponents in the political arena and to those who would have written about him, people who disagreed with his politics are almost all universally agreed that Sobukwe was a man who was a man of integrity and who contributed greatly to the struggle. And let's not forget, of course, he was the only person who had a special law, the General Law Amendment Act, the so-called Sobukwe Clause, which allowed people to be imprisoned and for that imprisonment to be renewed annually at the discretion of the Justice Minister. He was the only person imprisoned under that clause. How then he could be said to have been an apartheid collaborator boggles the mind. Solly Mapaila, I'm afraid you're entitled to your opinion, but not your own facts.